Stubbin' and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Caroline Fenton on remote today. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how we doing?
Good. Looking forward to seeing you back here on Monday. Or I guess we'll be at 312 Pizza Company. So there we will have that on Monday at 312 Pizza Company. Ian is here today. Welcome back, Ian. How are you?
What up, what up? Doing good, thank you.
Okay. So I got to start with this. And we got a lot of football on the show today. Week 18, which honestly, I'm not sure I really enjoy, but I'll complain about that, I'm sure, here at some point. But I got two things. One, I got to admit something to the audience. I got to admit two things to the audience. And I hope you guys can understand. Because they feel bad. I didn't watch Predators game last night. But I'm going to be honest with you for why I didn't watch Predators game last night. I tried to watch Predators game last night. I wanted to watch Predators game last night. But I fell asleep. I tried. Like, I'm not sitting here telling you, like, oh, you know, I didn't watch Predators game because I don't have, like, it's my job to watch Predators. I get it. But I fell asleep after the show was over because the snow had stopped. I went outside and I shoveled my driveway again. And I actually enjoyed doing that, shockingly. And then I got back in the house. I was on the phone and I fell asleep. Like, I fell asleep on the phone. The person I was on the phone with hung up because I fell asleep. And I didn't watch game last night. But they won again, and we'll have a bunch of thoughts on that coming up today because the Predators are red hot. They're in first place. I mean, they're the hottest team in the league. They're in first place in the division. UC Saros is playing out of his mind. Forsberg scored again. The ESPN, the eight people there that work on hockey are all obsessed with John Hines, so we'll get into all of that coming up. The second thing I have to admit, I accidentally left my garage door open last night. Now, I can explain myself, but this should tie into the first thing.
Is your car freezing?
No, well, my car was outside because, you know, I live on a hill. So, like, I park at the top of the hill when it snows because I don't want to try to get the car up the hill. So, I have my car outside, but I had been putting all my snow-related stuff to shovel the driveway by the front door so I don't track all that stuff in the house, and I forgot that I left the garage door open. So, that shows you how exhausted I was yesterday. After doing the radio show and shoveling the driveway only for it to snow again and then shoveling the driveway again and apparently made an absolute fool out of myself. I want to start on this, though. Does anybody find this Texans game interesting? Like, are you excited to talk about Sunday's game? Like, we know what the ramifications are. If the Titans win, they're the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. And no matter how much you want to talk about this bye, the way it used to be, where there were two byes. So if the Titans win this game and Kansas City wins their game, the Titans are off next week, the Chiefs are off next week, and really the only big deal about having that one seed is Kansas City would have to come here. Now, that's a big deal. But, like, the third game is a big deal, too. It's hard to win three games. The Titans 2 years ago went to New England and beat them in the first game, and then went to Baltimore 14-2, hadn't had trailed since October, and they beat them, and then they couldn't do it against the Chiefs who had the bye because they were the two seed. So we all know what's at stake. We all know everybody's going to watch. The TV ratings for the last game were 29.5. The TV ratings for this game will be like 33. It'll be absurd. But I'm having a hard time finding something interesting to talk about as far as this Titans game is concerned, except for the fact that they better win. Like, that's all I got for you. What do we think about the Texans game? They better win. Like, I'm serious. Like, okay, do we want to talk about Davis Mills? And I know that, you know, Vrabel the other day at his press conference got asked like 17 questions about Derrick Henry and then was like, does anybody have a question about the Texans? Because, you know, he wants to talk about the Texans. And this is essentially a de facto playoff game. And I would love for the Titans to go in and take care of business on Sunday. I know everybody cares about the Titans. I know everybody's going to watch on Sunday. And yet, the Texans. There's just no juice to talking about the Texans. Is there anything you'd like to say about the Texans, Caroline Fenton?
To be completely honest with you, nope.
No!
Nope. The most interesting stories this week are Bud Dupree beating someone up in a Walgreens and Derrick Henry potentially making a comeback.
Yes.
But there is nothing on the field that really gets me all jazzed to talk about the Houston Texans.
I mean, in all seriousness, like, I watched the ESPN shows. I think this week 18 stinks, by the way. And I'm going to rant about week 18 at some point today. But
I'm
Goodell
sure
came up with an idea, and I was in favor of 17 games. Because I looked at it like that's an extra week to talk football during the year. There's 52 weeks out of the year. You get to spend about 30 of them talking about real football between the preseason and the playoffs. And why not make it 31? That's, I think, fine. Let's do it. Add me an extra week. But Goodell, when he first took over, decided he wanted all divisional games as the last game of the season. And it's because he wants like 6 play-in games every year. Of the 8 divisions, he'd love 6 play-in games. And in reality, there's kind of 2. There's like 2 interesting games. There's the 49ers and the Rams. Rams win that game. They win the division. 49ers win. They're in the playoffs. That's kind of interesting. And then there's the Raiders and the Chargers. But this week 18, I mean, if you had the Colts playing the Titans this week and the Colts had to win in order to make the playoffs, that's a lot more fun. Like, what are the schedule makers doing putting the Texans the last week of the year? You knew the Texans were going to suck. You knew Jacksonville was going to be awful. And for everybody out there that's like, you don't know going into the season what it's going to be, I kind of feel like we knew Tampa Bay was going to be good. We knew Green Bay was going to be good. We knew Kansas City was going to be good. We knew Buffalo was going to be good. We knew Tennessee was going to be good. We knew Indianapolis was going to be better than the rest of that division. It probably doesn't take somebody who's brilliant to think that the Patriots would be the second best team in that division. Why don't we have interesting games the last week of the year? Why do they decide, and now I'm getting all ranting and raving, and last week the best game of the week was a noon kickoff that most of the country couldn't see. And so, I guess you could argue Patriots-Dolphins has a little bit of juice to it, even though the Dolphins are eliminated and the Patriots are in. Because the Patriots could technically get the 7th seed. But I just got nothing for you. I have nothing of insight to discuss about the Texans. This reminds me of a couple of weeks ago when we had a Fireball Hot Take Friday show. They were getting ready to play the Jags. And Urban Meyer was coming to town so we could talk about that. And, you know, Tannehill had been stinking it up so we could talk about that. But I'm like, Jags talk, like, I don't know. And then Vrabel threw that temper tantrum right there at the podium, and it was like, goody. And then we talked about that for an hour. And it was like, should Vrabel have talked to John Glennon this way? Let's take your calls. And, boy, people were fired up to talk about that. I got nothing for you on the Texans. The only thing I got for you on the Texans is what violates the first commandment of this radio show, which is...
you don't get anyone in trouble for something that they haven't done.
So we can't yell at the Titans for losing this game because they haven't lost it yet. But that's how I look at Sunday's game. Right now, everybody is spanking you on the bottom. Great job, Titans. Way to go, Titans. Vrabel, Mike Tannenbaum, Vrabel Coach of the Year, Robinson Executive of the Year. I was watching TV today, and I guess they must have had the talk at ESPN, Caroline, that Floyd told me about years ago, which was that in a production meeting for NFL Live, if you're picking a division and there's 3 guys on the panel, one of the 3 has to have a different opinion. So even if
yes.
It's like, who's going to win the NFC South? Tampa. All right, fine. I'll go at Atlanta. Like, that's, I guess, how you have to do it. And yesterday they had the panel about who's going to win the AFC. All 4 people picked the Chiefs. Today they had a panel. 2 people picked the Chiefs. 2 people, Dan Graziano and L. Duncan, who was in for Greeny, she picked the Titans. And so they must have had the talk back in the back that was like, hey, somebody picked the Titans. But the key here is they're picking the Titans because the Titans are going to have the bye. They're going to have the bye. They're going to have home field advantage. Vrabel might win Coach of the Year. And so all I have to say about the Texan game, because I don't feel like talking about David Culley because he's not interesting. I don't feel like talking about Davis Mills because he's not interesting. I mean, like, they shouldn't. There's nothing about this Texan team worth talking about other than Deshaun Watson, who's not going to play. But the one thing I'll say is everything good that you have right now goes away if you lose this game. And I'll just ask it to you like this. Let's kick it around the room. Do you think the Titans are going to the Super Bowl right now, today? Do you think the Titans are going to the Super Bowl, Caroline?
No.
Ian, do you think the Titans are going to the Super Bowl?
No.
Really? I'm a little surprised by that. I think they might. Like, if they win this game and they've got home field advantage throughout and they get Kansas City here and they play one less game, like, I think there's a pretty good chance they're going to the Super Bowl.
To be completely fair, I don't really feel confident about saying any team is going to the Super Bowl, really, other than Green Bay.
I guess, Ian, what's your logic for why you don't think the Titans are going to the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, you make a good point about getting the home field and having the only two, you know. I don't know. Part of me just worries that they're not going to be able to score enough points in a game coming up.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not saying the Titans are. Don't confuse this with the Titans are going to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that. But, like, if I had to be on one of these panels at ESPN and it was, you know, who's going to win the AFC? All right, let's do that. Who's going to win the AFC? Caroline.
The Chiefs.
Ian?
Chiefs.
I think the Titans beat the Chiefs here at Nissan Stadium. I really do.
Why?
That's why. Because I think that the Titans' defensive line is going to be too much for the Chiefs.
I mean, the one seed is a great argument, to be honest. It's probably the best argument of any, you know, of any of the teams, no matter the conference. To have the one seed is probably the best argument.
I just
having them at home is huge.
I just think Kansas City's too soft. You know, I don't think they're a tough team. Well, you're going to say coach and quarterback.
Coach and quarterback.
Right. No, Mahomes. Mahomes scares me. Andy Reid has choked away more, you know, playoff games than donuts I think he's eaten over the years. So that I'm
easy.
Not too
no fat shaming.
I just made a point, but so I feel like I'm not really all that worried about Andy Reid, although he did outcoach Vrabel in the last time that they had an AFC Championship game. So there is that on the table, but. Like, Mahomes, yeah, I'll give you guys Mahomes. Like, I'm scared of Mahomes, no doubt about it. And you guys are going to think, talking about the listeners, that if Patrick Mahomes comes in here in an AFC title game, you will get a week of, and Patrick Mahomes, if he gets that opportunity, he's going to, yeah, you will get that. But I just think Titans defensive line is too good. I just think that they're too good. How did Tampa Bay win the Super Bowl last year? Defensive line. You heard TD yesterday on the program. TD said that the Titans have the best defensive line in the NFL. Now, I don't know if I'd say best in the NFL, but it's pretty good. And I guess the big major point I'm making here is where I sit today, I think the Titans have as good of a chance as anybody else in the AFC of going to the Super Bowl. But if they lose this game, it's all off. If they lose this game, forget about it. Because if you lose this game, you're not even going to be the two seed. I saw like local media members. I don't know if they pull up like the standings on their phone or not and have thought this through, but they're like, well, if the Chiefs lose, then would you rest your starters? Like, no, because if Cincinnati wins, then they're the number one seed. Or if Buffalo loses and New England wins and Cincinnati loses, you lose and the Chiefs lose, then New England's the number one seed. So you can go all throughout the, if the Titans are not the one seed, the Titans are not going to the Super Bowl. If the Titans are the one seed, I feel like they have as good of a chance as anybody else. So that's like, it's crazy to look at this Texan game. And this is the point I'm making and saying, gosh, I just don't find anything about the Texans interesting or worth talking about. And yet if they win it, they might go to the Super Bowl. And if they lose it, they're not going to the Super Bowl. Those are pretty big stakes, right?
At least for me. Those are huge stakes.
Yeah, right. That's why I threw that. I had that meltdown after they lost that game to the Steelers, because it was right there in front of you, and I didn't expect Cincinnati to beat Kansas City. And so I'm like, oh, no, now you got to go to Arrowhead. Now you got to play the extra game. Now you got to. There's a legitimate chance that New England goes to Kansas City or that Indianapolis goes to Kansas City. Like a legitimate chance that in the first week of the playoffs that the Indianapolis Colts go to the Chiefs. And everybody except for me thinks that the Colts can win that game. I do not. But, I mean, you talk about beat the Texans, don't play, or instead of beat the Texans, Indy or New England comes in here, you have to win that game to then turn around and go on the road. No, thank you. So it's quite the conundrum. So if anybody's got a thought on the Texan game, they want to get out there. 615-737-1025. I'm all ears. I just look at this game like, hey, don't lose. You shouldn't lose to this team. You're healthy. I know you're going on the road. They have nothing to play for. Their bags are packed. They want their money. They want to get out of there. Just win this game on Sunday. And I could break it down, and I could talk about, you know, things we need to see from the tight. I could do that. But it's hard for me to, like, talk about the Texans. And I'm not asking for a better opponent, because I think this is the perfect opponent to play with these stinks. But that's how I view Sunday's game. Win, and I think the Titans are going to the Super Bowl if they win on Sunday. Now, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. But I think one seed, they have as good of a shot as anybody else. Lose, no chance of the Super Bowl. So, to me, this is a playoff game. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. So, just win a game, baby. Al Davis, just win, baby. Coming up next, we already did this with the Titans once, and it really was a bad idea. Can we even possibly think about doing it again? We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, Fireball, Hot Take Friday, Caroline and Ian, we are rocking and rolling. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
A little bit different from what you faced earlier on in the season, new quarterback in there. What do you see out of these guys this week?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, they've been running the football. You know what I mean? The O-line has been doing a nice job. The backs have been, you know, running hard. And then that's something that, you know, I think has been a conscious decision. You know, we'll have to see where the game goes, you know, on Sunday, but just watching film is, you know, they've got tight ends in there. They've got, you know, sometimes XL linemen. You know, obviously they're able to move the ball downfield with Cooks and Collins and Moore, some of those guys down the field. But it has been, you know, trying to run the football, hit some play action, you know, take some shots when they're there.
Vrabel sounds really excited to talk about the Texans. What have you seen? You know, they, you know, they run the ball a little
bit.
They
have tight ends. Their linemen are big. That's unique to the Texans. Thanks for that, Mike.
I think he looks at it like they got tight ends. I don't have any tight ends.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
There is something that they've got. So he started the show off on the Texan game. My level of excitement is on a scale of 1 to 10. Like, you know, these last game of the years, I would say, and Caroline, you weren't here for this, but like, 2018, the Titans were playing the Colts on Sunday Night Football, that win and end last game of the season. And Ian, I think I'd have to rate my excitement level for that game at like a 11.
Okay, that's probably fair, especially being Sunday Night Football.
It was the first Sunday Night Football. This was 2018. It was the first Sunday Night Football since 2009 for the Titans. And I had just talked. I mean, we used to look at games like 3 weeks out and be like, do you think this game could get flexed into Sunday Night Football? Oh, my God, Sunday Night Football. And Floyd would just be like, ha ha, I don't know. I don't care. Ha ha. And I cared about Sunday. So you got a win and you're in. It's the Colts. It's Sunday Night Football. It's New Year's. Let's go. This is like a 2. But the difference is, if the Titans had made the playoffs in 2018, I would have expected them to lose in the first round of the playoffs, maybe win a game and lose in the second round. I told you in the last segment, I think if they, I truly think this, if they win, and you all know me, you know that I can get on the Titans, you know, a lot. And Caroline backed me up. I'm a very pessimistic sports fan.
That is 100% true.
I think they have as good of a chance as anybody else to make it to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying they are going, but if they win on Sunday. So I'm going to ask you this question. We said before the last time they played the Texans that we were just going to trust the Titans to take care of the Texans, and we weren't really going to care or talk about the Texan game. Because there wasn't really anything all that interesting to talk about with the Texan game, and it was the Floyd, you know, Hall of Fame, Ring of Honor ceremony, and, like, obviously a big weekend with all of that emotionally for me, you know, just, and I was like, all right, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you to beat the Texans. And we know how that worked out. So I'm going to change, Caroline. I'm putting it all on Mike Vrabel. We talked about this yesterday about, like, what could this season mean for Vrabel's legacy. I've had every Titan fan on Twitter scream about the fact that Vrabel doesn't get any Coach of the Year recognition, only to watch everybody on television this week say that Vrabel should be Coach of the Year. I'm just going to put this game on him. They're healthy. AJ's in. Julio's in, though I don't care about Julio. Bud Dupree is in. David Long Jr. is in. The offensive line is in. No COVID. No big injuries other than Derek. Foreman is running the ball well. Tannehill is not turning the ball over. At least he hasn't the last two games. I'm putting it on Vrabel. You may be Coach of the Year. And the first Coach of the Year in the history of the NFL to lose to crap teams like Houston and the Jets and the Steelers. And those are the three bad teams they lost to. You got to win me this game. The end. This one's on Vrabel. All the chips are in the middle. If Vrabel wins this game, pat him on the butt, Coach of the Year, give him a hug, whatever you want to do. If he loses this one, I mean, I'm not saying they should fire the guy, but, like, you know, if you're watching the stream right now, I'm going to pull the Geraldo Rivera, and I'm just going to turn around when you start talking about Mike Vrabel. I'm not going to listen to talk about Mike Vrabel if they go out there and lose this game. Is that fair?
I think that's fair, because a team with this amount of talent, and for Mike Vrabel being as good of a coach as we'd like to tout him to be,
he's a good coach.
You cannot get swept by the crummy, crappy Texans who didn't have a quarterback to start the season. And we're not going to get anyone in trouble for doing something that they haven't done.
True.
But if you look at the reason why the Titans lost to the Texans last game, in my opinion, it's because they wanted to throw the ball. It's because they relied too much on Tannehill to have the ball in his hands and to throw the ball on almost every single down. And I also think that's Mike Vrabel's responsibility to be able to learn from the last time that they played the Texans and say it wasn't the best way. That's not how we play football. We don't win games by throwing the ball. We don't win games by putting the ball in Ryan Tannehill's hands on every single down. And I think they have. And I think they've learned that the past few games, that you run the ball with Deontay Foreman and hopefully Derrick Henry very soon, and you play good defense. That's how this team is going to be able to win games. That's, in my opinion, why they lost the last game. And if Mike Vrabel can't learn his lesson, then you don't deserve Coach of the Year. You don't deserve the first seed. I'm sorry.
Oh, my. I mean, like, there, you
just
talk about
just
the
pendulum. Get back to what you do best. Run the ball, play good defense against this crap team you should be able to beat.
And I don't even care about that. Like, I would agree with you. Like, run the ball, play defense, that should be good enough to beat the Texans. But I don't even care about that. Like, as far as I have a hard time, like, analyzing this Texan. Like, the Texans are 13th in the league against, however you want to do it. I don't care. But, like, if they lose this game, again, cannot get mad at somebody for something that they have not done. But, oh, my goodness. What is Vrabel's full name? I need to figure this out, because if they lose this game, you know, like when a parent gets mad at someone and they, a parent gets mad and they, like, yell at their kid with their full name.
Michael something Vrabel.
Michael George Vrabel. That's what I'm going to start calling him. If you lose this game, Michael George Vrabel, do not lose this game this week. I think it's fair. I think it's fair to go from Vrabel should be Coach of the Year to screw this guy with this one game.
Is that fair?
Yes.
To screw this guy?
Yes.
What do
screw
you mean
this
by
coach?
That?
You know, the idea of me thinking that, hey, you're an elite coach. You can go toe-to-toe with these great coaches. You can take this team to the Super Bowl. You can no. If you can't beat this team once, Oh, no.
I mean, they should be able to beat this team once. But I'm not going to say that, you know, if they can't beat the Texans on Sunday, then they're not going to be able to beat any team in the playoffs. Because we've seen from the Titans that they can lose to the crap teams and beat the good teams. So I don't subscribe to that philosophy. But you at least got to beat a bad team once.
You think they can win 3 games in the AFC playoffs, including maybe 2 on the road?
I think it would be incredibly difficult. I would not put my money on it.
Okay. Give me a percent chance in your head that the Titans make it to the Super Bowl if, let's do this again, around the room, percent chance the Titans make it to the Super Bowl if they win on Sunday.
Like, I'll give it like a 50-50 shot.
Probably about fair. Ian?
I was going to say, you know, 40%.
Yeah. I think those are fair. Percent chance if they lose.
15.
20.
You guys are too high. That's way too high. 5. Like, give me 5 if they lose this game. Again, it's the Texans. Like, it's the Texans. Oh. See, I'm already getting myself worked up on a Fireball Hot Take Friday for something that the Titans haven't done, but they already did lose to the Texans. I mean, this is my theory.
Just don't do it again.
I don't care if you lost to the Texans the first time. But don't lose to the Texans a second time. And on top of it, this is going to be my new line. And this is the Jared Stillman Coach of the Year Award. So you can't get mad at it. It's like we talked about voting yesterday. If you don't like how somebody votes, that's your problem, not theirs. You should let it go. If the Titans win this game on Sunday, Vrabel Coach of the Year for the Jared Stillman Coach of the Year Award. If they lose this game on Sunday, Urban Meyer will place higher on the Jared Stillman Coach of the Year Award than Mike
Don't
Vrabel.
You dare do that.
If they lose this game.
No, Urban Meyer, who got fired halfway through the season, would be a better coach in your eyes than Mike Vrabel.
For this year.
You are such a drama queen.
For this year, it's my vote. The Jared Stillman
Coach
of
the
Year Award.
Well, the Jared Stillman Coach of the Year Award is a sham.
Well, duh. I mean, it's like the Herbies, the Jareds. I don't think that's a bad idea. That might be a nice little July.
The
show.
What?
The Jareds.
But what did you say before that?
It's like the Herbies. You know, Mark Herbstreet has his awards. The Herbies.
I heard you say a different word.
Oh, you thought I said, yeah. Well,
this is difficult, you know, when we're not in the same room.
No. But the Jareds. Worst coaching performance of the year. Who will take home the Jareds? Tune in next. 615-737-1025. I see your phones are just lighting up the text line. So we'll go to them next because I do have Preds thoughts this hour I want to get off as well. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. 3 games this week right here on ESPN 1025 and 94.9. Saturday, tomorrow, the Eagles and the Cowboys at 7:15 on ESPN 94.9. Sunday at 3:25, it's the Seahawks and the Cardinals right here on 102.5 The Game, and the 49ers and the Rams on ESPN 94.9. The NFL Games of the Week on 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 are brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Mike Tannenbaum, who is your NFL Coach of the Year?
You know, I love both those guys. Work with Zach, know Matt very, very well. It's Mike Vrabel, and you could have the other 31 guys. Like, it's not that hard. They're the number one seed, and we keep talking about Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Josh Allen. Ryan Tannehill's been a good quarterback. They've gone to the next level. They have the number one seed, and they have missed so many players. They lost their first-round pick for the year, Caleb Farley. Had a huge free agent signing, Bud Dupree. He's been hurt. As Harry mentioned, A.J. Brown's been hurt. And now, oh, by the way, Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, both been hurt. Mike Vrabel's done an unbelievable job. John Robinson, their GM, if I had a vote, he's the executive of the year. And candidly, guys, it's not close. Like, we're overcomplicating this.
That was Mike Tannenbaum on ESPN saying, Vrabel's Coach of the Year, Robinson, it's too easy. Not if they lose to the Texans. Not to me. Let's go to your phones. Fireball Hot Take Friday phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline, what do we have?
Nate texts in and says, how can Jared flip-flop on Vrabel based on one game when he went off on Adam Vingan yesterday for going back on Forsberg comments based on a single month of data?
Because this one game is about the Super Bowl. That's why. Because This is the thing that I just don't understand. I was thinking about this Forsberg stuff yesterday after the radio show was over, and I was like, what is more insignificant than December NHL hockey of like somebody's career? When you sit there and you look back on it and you're like, you know, he was a good player for 6 years. He was a good, decent, okay, so-so player in the playoffs. But boy, that December that he had, this is not a Lexus commercial for December to remember. It's just, it's there. This is one game where I'm telling you, and you guys said, going off of, you know, what you two said, almost 50-50 to go to the Super Bowl. If you win this week against the worst team maybe in the league, or one of the three or four worst teams, if you win this week with a healthy roster, then you've got such a good shot. You've got such a good shot. And if you lose this game because you lost to the stinking Texans again, like, that's what I'm telling you all. This is a playoff game against the worst team in the league. Like, this is a playoff game. Everybody in the AFC is going to have to win three games to get to the Super Bowl. This is the third game for you. So, Indianapolis is three games. Might be Kansas City, Tennessee, Cincinnati. Your three games are going to start with Houston. I will take that out of court. This is such a big game. Oh, that is not flip-flopping. Because flip-flopping would be like, well, you know, everybody else seems to think that Vrabel should be this. So, you know what? It's not Vrabel's fault that they lost the Texan game. No! It's all
well,
the
to
Texan
be fair, you
Vrabel.
Did say yesterday that you do think that Mike Vrabel is going to be coach of the year because everyone's talking about it.
But that's an award that's based upon people voting for it.
Okay.
That's not like a major decision, right? So like coach of the year was something nobody ever talks about coach of the year in October or November. So coach of the year, everybody was like, no one's ever talking about coach of the year. And I'm like, look, just off what I think the media is going to give it to a guy whose team stunk last year. So it'll be Zach Taylor. Because again, the media votes on this award. And then I see the media is all on TV talking about Vrabel. So I'm like, oh, well, if the media loves Vrabel that much, probably give it to Vrabel. That's different than, like, should they fire the coach? Yes. And then 2 weeks later being like, you know what? They won that. They won a couple games. Let's not fire the coach. There's a giant difference between, like, this to me is just like reading the tea leaves. It's like in the second quarter of a game. Are they going to win? Yeah, I think they're going to win. They just threw three interceptions. Yeah, they're probably going to lose. What's next?
Indy Ben, our good friend, texts in and yes. says, you still need to overcome turnover Tannehill to get to the big game. And it's certainly no guarantee that Derrick Henry is back to his true form right away.
Yeah, they need Tannehill. That was the opening 2 o'clock tape on Monday. The opening 2 p.m. take, reaction Monday, was what? If Tannehill doesn't turn the ball over, the Titans might be going to the Super Bowl. Duh. Is there anybody who has been harder on Ryan Tannehill turning the football over than me? Is there anybody who's more afraid of Ryan Tannehill turning the football over than me? By the way,
I'm sure
Indy
Mike
Ben,
pretty afraid of it.
By the way, Indy Ben might want to look at your quarterback turning the football over. We'll talk about quarterbacks. I tell you, that Wentz, he stinks. What's next?
Derek checks in about the Texan game and says, I'm not excited for it per se, more just ready for the clock to hit zero with the Titans win. There's a level of anxiety that comes with it. I would equate it to the night before a big job interview. Yeah, you're really excited for the possibility of a new job, but you're also a little bit nervous that you could oversleep or bomb it, even though deep down you're confident everything will be just fine.
Oh, that is so true and very, very well said. Like, I look at this Texan game and I think to myself, like, and I know I'm going to watch. We got the pregame show. I'm going to watch. You're going to watch. We're all going to watch. We'll be sitting there watching the Texan game. And it's like, if you could just tell me right now, like 23-6 with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, good. Done. See ya. Move it on. Now let's put on some other game that's on because it's more interesting. That's where I am with that. Ray is up next. Thank you for calling. You go ahead, Ray.
Brother, I love you. Did I have old man Floyd here to calm you down sometimes, Jared? I don't know what we're going to do with you, man. Oh, my God. Look, I just going to say this. When it comes to the season, it's every game. It does not fall on this one game. He had to coach every game And I know we lost some games that we probably all think we shouldn't have, but we won some games that most people thought we couldn't. Here's the deal. As he did it all season long, he did it without key ball handlers. That's one of the reasons we fumbled so much.
Ray,
as he progressed,
Ray, do you want? Do you think Vrabel should win the award? Ray, do you think Vrabel should win Coach of the Year even if they lose on Sunday?
Yes, I do. I'm biased to the Titans, but I'm not being biased in that opinion. I'm really not, because he's done what he's done with what he's got, not what he had at the beginning of the season.
Ray,
and
thank you for your call.
Several. You bet, buddy.
Ray, I appreciate your call. Caroline, do you give Vrabel Coach of the Year if they lose?
It would be incredibly tough to do so.
Ian?
Only if they still can somehow get the one seed. I think he has to get the one seed. But
so here's how they get the one seed. Kansas City has to lose tomorrow. Titans have to obviously lose to make this all work out. Titans lose. Bengals have to lose to the Browns, which might be possible because Joe Burrow is going to be out. And New England has to lose to the Dolphins. Or Buffalo has to win. And then the Titans get the one seed. Good luck to that.
That's a lot of things that really don't seem likely. I don't see the
Patriots.
No,
he does not get Coach of the Year if they lose. And that's what I love too, is people are like, hey, it's only one game. Don't get worked up about one game. Don't get too carried away about one game. No. It's the playoffs. And guess what? The playoffs, I saw the 2000 Titans. That's the best team I've ever seen. I loved that football team. They had a great offensive line. They had two great receivers. They had a great tight end. They had an all-pro running back. They had Steve McNair at quarterback. And they had the number one defense in the NFL. And I watched them have a bad game against the Ravens. Four missed field goals, an interception return for a touchdown, a busted coverage off the sideline, and I saw them lose. And guess what? Nobody cares. It's one game. That's what matters. 615-737-1025. I have a Preds thought that I want to get to, and we'll do that next. Fireball Hot Take Friday. You know I love ice cold Fireball Sin Whiskey. It goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There is no better way to celebrate a division championship or the number one seed than when you're hanging out and spending great time with your friends. That's right. Fireball Hot Take Friday. We love ice cold Fireball Sin Whiskey around here. That's Fireball Ignite the Night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy Fireball Sin Whiskey.
On the penalty kill now for Los Angeles, Blake Lizotte. Predators get it in left wing side, throw it across to Forsberg at the right point. Forsberg skates to the right circle. He scores! Philip Forsberg scores on the power play. And the Predators take a 1-0 lead.
I do have to give the Predators credit. They went from being the worst power play team for the last 3 years into being a team that literally scores on every power play. I've never seen anything like it. It reminds me of the Braves this past year, the bullpen. Just so laughable. I mean, every time they went to the bullpen, it was like, hang on to your rear end for 6 months of a regular baseball season. They could have been playing the worst team in baseball. They've been playing the Marlins. And it was like, hold on to your rear end. Then they get in the playoffs and it's like, go to the bullpen, strikeout, pop out, Braves win. It's like every game. Never seen anything like it. And that's the Preds power play. So I am not going to lie to the audience and pretend that I watched a game that I didn't watch last night. I tried to stay up for it. I think I got too tired from the second driveway shoveling yesterday. I think that wore me out.
But I am going to say that one was on you for having to shovel your driveway twice. That one was on you.
Yeah. I didn't really think that one through. So I wanted to stay up for the Preds game, but when I woke up at like 3 a.m, just like, oh, I guess I fell asleep, and I was like, oh, I missed the game. So I went and I looked at the box score, which I'm not a box score scouter. So I texted Ian and I asked Ian, I said, did you watch the Preds game? And Ian said yes. So I went and looked at the box score, and when I saw in the box score that UC Soros made 46 saves last night. And meanwhile, Jonathan Quick only faced 19 shots. I thought, yeah, I've seen this before. And I feel like the one thing that were doing with the Predators. And Ian, correct me if I'm wrong, that this game, and you watch it, I didn't, I'll be honest, but last night's Preds game was kind of one of those ones where they turned it over to Soros and said, all right, go win the game for us, baby.
I would say the first probably 10 minutes, the Kings were pushing pretty good. And then I'd say for the next good stretch, you know, the Preds scored. They made it three. They pretty much took over there. And as you said, they were pretty good on the power play. And I would say maybe towards the end of the second and most of the third period, it was pretty much the Kings. And, you know, at times it was the Preds just kind of pinning their ears back and holding down the defensive zone, and Soros, you know, helping to pull it away.
So it was kind of one of those games which the Predators just made a living on over the years, which was get a lead and throw the keys at Pekka and say, get it home, baby.
Especially in the third. Yeah, in the third period, I mean, the Kings really, I think they had 21 shots on goal in the third, and they really kind of started to pour it on.
Like, the Predators have won a lot of games like that. The Predators have won a lot of games because UC Soros is playing out of his mind. Like, that's the one thing that whenever we talked about this with the Titans earlier this season when they beat Buffalo and Derrick Henry was obviously the reason why, and everybody was like, give credit to this guy and give credit to that guy and give credit. Remember Joe going on his rant that Tannehill was 9-9 in the fourth quarter, so we have to give credit to Tannehill even though he was plumb awful for the first three periods. Like, or first three periods, first three quarters. And it was like, no, Derek won them that game. And it's like Soros is winning them a lot of games. Now, Duchesne's playing well. Johansson's playing well. Forsberg's playing well. And Tanner Jeannot's playing well. But, like, they're winning these games because UC Soros is playing out of his mind because they're doing what Ian reportedly just said they did last night, which was get a little bit of a lead, turn it over to the goalie. I just don't think you can do that and expect to win in the playoffs. And I was listening to Robbie and Retro today talk about just how great the Predators have been. And I'm like, they're winning games, and I like it. I do. But I think we're starting to become one of these places where we look at the Predators' success in January, and we're like, that's great. We love it. We want you to win. But the real test will be coming in April and May and hopefully June. And I just don't know, when you play better teams with better forwards, I don't think that against a good team with high-end forwards, and the Western Conference is certainly not the Eastern Conference, but I don't think you can win four games out of seven by having UC Soros try to go out there and stop 50 shots. And I thought last year against Carolina was a perfect example of that. Remember that question Joe asked John Hines after they lost game two, when he was like, is this an example of a goalie stealing the game? When the goalie didn't win, and John Hines was like, Joe, did you just say, did our goalie steal the game? Like, that's what Soros did last year. He did that in game two, and he did that in game six, and he kind of did it in game five. And you just lost because the other team, just they had too many good players. And the Kings stink. And so the teams that you will be playing have better players, but then again, they just beat Vegas, so I don't know. I wonder if this style can win in the playoffs. Joe said yesterday on Jared versus Joe, he's like, I know this style can win in the playoffs. I am skeptical.
Well, I counter that point to, can you win in the playoffs without this kind of goaltending?
Yes. You can win in the playoffs with average goaltending if you've got a great team. I think like the 2015 Blackhawks were an example of that. I thought the Penguins team that won those back-to-back cups beat the Predators here had average goaltending. I do think you can win with average goaltending. I mean, Tuukka Rask has been to two Stanley Cup finals. Tuukka stinks. And they're going to bring him back in Boston. But, I mean, yes, we saw that with Grubauer and Holtby and Washington. Like, yeah, you can win a cup with average goaltending. It's a lot harder to steal a cup with great goaltending than I think it is to have great forwards and a solid roster and just have decent goaltending. Because with goalies, it's like, you know, most goalies, it's this guy got hot at this time or this guy's going to get hot at that time. The one thing I'll say about Soros, I do feel like this is who he is. That you lost Pekka Rinne and you've transitioned to Pekka Rinne. Like, you went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers in net. At least for the Predators, that's what it feels like. So that's the positive. But I think you can get by with average goaltending in the playoffs. If you told me that the Predators were going to go out and get a high-end scoring forward, then I would say, okay, now we're talking. But I struggle with this style of play working in the playoffs. But crazier things have happened. 615-737-1025. Add that in there. We'll get more into the Predators a little bit today because we got a lot of that. So I talked about this with TD yesterday, and he wasn't willing to go there. But there is something on the Titans. I just jumped all over Adam Vingan for changing his opinion. There is something on the Titans, though, that I am considering thinking that maybe we didn't totally grasp. Explain that next. Here on Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday, FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. The college football championship is here on Monday, and to celebrate, FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking up new customers with 30-1 odds on either team to win. This means that you can bet $5 to win $150 on either team to win it all. I'm going to go with Alabama because I'm not going to bet against a great coach. Just sign up for the FanDuel Sportsbook app using the promo code JGM and make a deposit to claim 30-1 enhanced odds. There is no better place to bet the college football playoff than on America's number one sportsbook app. It's simple and easy to use with great new offers every day. And when you win, FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 2 hours. They also take Venmo now. If you've already got FanDuel, they're going to hook up all customers with $50 when you refer a friend, and your friend will get $50 too. Don't miss your chance to win $150 on a $5 bet. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and head to sportsbook.fanduel.com to sign up with the promo code JGM to get 30-1 odds. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in a designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.